Morning
to everybody, honorable members.
Morning
to you all.
Morning,
TTG. Honorable members, left with 2 minutes. Good morning, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity to greet everyone in the platform, our invitees present here. We are trying to enjoy the spring, but seemingly the question of climate change here in Cape Town, these winter rains are still pouring. Maybe there's nothing wrong to have a rain. It's a sign of sometimes relief, and to some of us, it's just a blessing. But let alone the floods, which when it's raining, more than the blessing, becomes reminding us of Noah in the Bible. Here we are today. I'm welcoming you all by doing that. Can the agenda be on the screen? Zoleka? Yes, I welcome you all, honorable members, our visitors who are with us, which they are going to tell us who are they. And then also to all the staff of this, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, you are welcome. Can Zoleka give us apologies?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to everyone. We have an apology from Inkosi Luthuli, who is not going to be joining us because he has another commitment. We also have apologies from the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Acting DG, who are all attending a cabinet quota. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. I did get a double apology to me. Also, the acting DG did communicate with me saying that the DG Councilmaya is going to lead the delegation of the department. I did get that apology. Can anyone propose the adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson?
Yes.
I move for the scrutiny.
Oh, why today your voice? I'm not recognizing it. Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mshongo proposed it.
I move for the adoption of the agenda, Chair, and note the apologies.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Any second, Honorable Adam?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning.
I second on the proposal of Honorable Mslongo. He's so vibrant this morning, so I do want to second on his proposal. I thank you.
It's conditional when you support.
He is always vibrant.
It's conditional. We cannot note that.
I, my Honorable Adams, he's always vibrant. Okay, Honorable Members, the agenda is being seconded, and now let's just go to the second point. Let me again welcome DDG Khan. You can tell us who are you with you. Thank you so much to you, DDG.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the Honourable Members. And also, I want to greet our team from the Figure Skating Association, the SA Figure Skating, and my colleagues. Chairperson, I'm a bit under the weather today. I've got bronchitis. I will introduce the team from DSAC, and with your permission, Madam Chair, when we get to the agenda, the overview, I'm going to kindly ask Mr. Simpiwe Nube to take us through the presentation, because I think if I'm going to try, I'm going to be coughing and sneezing through it. I want for it to go smoothly, so I'll ask Simpiwe to do that. But just to indicate the delegation from the department, Chairperson, I'm Sumaya Khan, the DDG responsible for recreation, development and sports promotion. And we are joined by Mr. Simpiwe Nube, who's our chief director, and also Mr. Mankopane Manamela, who is responsible for federation support in the branch. We further joined, Madam Chair, by Mr. Lodwick Ralabipi and Ms. Ramalepe. Ms. Ramalepe is the head of the office in the office of the DG, and Mr. Ralabibi is the parliamentary support in the office of the DG. Madam Chair, we further have Mr. Simeon Kanunu and Mr. Sibuyele Watani, who are the parliamentary support to the minister and to the DG, to the deputy minister, respectively. So that's our delegation, Madam Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care. I know bronchitis. I'm part of the whole of my family. We have in that. But take it easy. Thank you, Honorable Members. Simpiwe, well, I welcome you also. Just show your face and disappear in the screen. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and the members of the portfolio committee, and good morning to the DDG and the leadership from Figure Skating as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Simpiwe. We've seen you. We are well presented. Take us on. Thank you, Simpiwe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just quickly go through the overview of South African Figure Skating Association, which is a non-profit association, and it's one of the it's a governing body for figure skating in the country, as recognized both by the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, as well as the International Skating Union. And it is also recognized by the department in terms of the recognition of sport and recreation bodies regulations chair. It has the various disciplines which are free skating, ice dance, pair skating, and synchronized skating. Chair, the key objectives of the Federation, one is to promote, to control, encourage advance, as well as assist in protecting and generally furthering the sport of figure skating in the country and all the sub-disciplines that I went through earlier. It is not part of the priority codes, which are often assessed in terms of the eminent persons group and which are also then designated as the focus codes for school sport. The, in terms of the brief for today was to just make sure that figure skating focuses on its annual report and any other matters that would need to be brought to the attention of the committee.
There's a lot of noise behind you. Whoever is with you, they must lower their voices.
Okay, it's strange because I've locked myself up in the office, but let me check quickly if the colleagues are outside.
Okay.
Apologies for that, Chairperson.
No, no problem.
I've asked the colleagues to lower their voices.
Okay.
The presentation chair will be given by SASFA, and then the department is just providing the highlights in terms of what support we provide, chair. In the last financial year, the Federation, in terms of its submissions and application, it received about 400,000. Which covers both their high performance programs as well as their inter-provincial competitions, which then leads to their national competitions. Just in terms of the submissions from the Federation in terms of member statistics, which is on our records, for the total of 2,352 members, broken down obviously in the various categories of senior men with 212, senior women 378, junior men which is under 19, 117, and then junior women which is under 19. And you can see, Chair, that the sport seems to be quite popular amongst the under 19, particularly girls. The sport chair is a bit of a unique one because it really it depends entirely on the access and availability of the ice rinks, which in most cases are privately owned. The list is provided in terms of the ice rinks that are in the country. In Gauteng, Northgate Ice Rink, the Durban Ice Rink, which is located by Mshanga, the Festival Mall again in Gauteng, the Grand West Ice Station, the Grove Ice Rink in Gauteng, Galaria in KZN, the Forest Hill in Gauteng, and then Ilanga Ice Rink in Mpumalanga. Then the Olive Grove chair, the indication that this one is no longer in use. Chair, we see that some provinces certainly do not have the ice rinks. Chair, we're noting that although figure skating is an Olympic sport, the country has not really featured or qualified for any of the major events in this case. The code did not feature in the 2018 as well as the 2022 Commonwealth Games as well. And last qualified for the Olympics in 1998. Certainly, Chair, with the limited number of ice rings, do not bode well for the code as well as citizens, but this is an inherent limitation in terms of the code and its popularity. Although it is quite an enjoyable code for most of us, including myself, I skate now and then. Thanks. The next slide. Next slide, which I think is just to give a visual of the nature of the code and obviously with different levels and styles as indicated before. Thank you, Chair. That is the overview from our side in terms of the Federation, Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Madam Chair, you are muted. Madam Chair?
Yes, I don't know. I was trying to unmute me. Thank you so much, Simpiwe. Now this is time that we must give it to the South African figure skating the chance to talk to us and to introduce themselves. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Ricardo Jacobs. I'm the President of South African Figure Skating Association. Can you hear me?
Yes, show your face and switch off the cardio. We hear you, but we want your face.
My camera is on and it doesn't seem to show my face at the moment. Let me just try again quickly. It doesn't seem to want to show my face at the moment. I don't know what is was working earlier on. Let me just try one more time. Let me just see here quickly. Close that one. Honourable Chair, it doesn't seem to want to show my beautiful face to you guys.
Are you beautiful or handsome?
I'm handsome and beautiful, Madam Chair. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I will get one of my IT guys to come and sort it out. While we're doing that, I will introduce my delegates to you. At the moment, my name is Ricardo Jacobs. I'm the president of South African Figure Skating Association. I'm been in the present position for 2.5 years. With me is Joe Casavella. He's the PRO of the organization. Unfortunately, the apologies for my deputy president and my national treasurer and also secretary, because they are traveling at the moment. What I can do is once we've done with this recording, I want to share it with my ICSCO and also my council. So we are in South African figure skating is 25 years in existence, that's the SAFSA. Figure skating in the country is now 85 years going strong. That is basically what we are doing currently. Like I said, the member that is with me is Joe Costavella. You can just call her Joe. That is how she wants to be recognized as.
Just a moment, Mr. Jacobs. Honorable Mshlongo. Honorable Mshlongo, your hand is up.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm concerned we are only the delegate of two, and we don't see their face. And he's been speaking. I don't even see the presentation. I'm worried, Chair, and we are funding these guys plus minus 400,000. I'm concerned, firstly. I remember the first president, the new elected president of Athletics South Africa did not have a tie. And then he said, my camera is not working. I wonder if Ricardo, can you sort it out? Then your delegation, I'm concerned. It's only two people, which is, I wonder. One of the things, first impression last, Chairperson, and it seems like the fight, they don't give this sport priority because of the leadership. I'm concerned, Chair.
Honorable Mshlongo, noted, I cannot do any other thing or otherwise. He apologized about the veto, and then he has got two apologies of other leadership. And then when this other one taking a platform, we're going to show his face. We are noting your concern. Go on, Honorable Mr. Jacobs. We noted what you're saying, Honorable Trump, but you cannot have a proof of the problem of the veto. But he was saying that we'll try to show it.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. There is a presentation prepared for this meeting today. I just need to find out if I have shared options in order to share the presentation with the members. Also, I've seen that my PRO person, Joe Costavella, has a hand up. Can I ask you to, can I give you opportunity to speak? Joe, please go ahead.
I'm a chairperson here. We are not
sorry, Honorable Chairperson. I've got my PRO person with the hand up. Is it possible that they can speak?
I wanted you to land. And when you are landing, and you are now chairing the meeting. I've seen this hand. Joe, please say something. And even yourself, we can't see you. We're seeing a whitish picture, doesn't show your face. Similar, both of you have got a problem. Can I give you the platform? Hello? Can you say something? Costavella. Seemingly you all have some problems. Ricardo, let's give it to you, back to you. He's not talking. The picture is there's no picture.
Madam Chair, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good morning. Yes. My apologies. I sincerely apologize. I just want to say thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. I wanted to just put your mind at rest, despite the lack of the photograph of our president, Mr. Ricardo Jacobs, that I can verify and confirm that he is the person he's claiming to be. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll give him chance as time goes on to sort his camera. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it.
Okay. Mr. Ricardo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable members, thank you. Madam Chair, I just need to find out if I have a sharing option. Let me see, I've got sharing option, yes.
You do. There we go. Yeah.
Can Madam Chair, can you see the presentation?
Yes, Rakado.
Thank you very much. I'm just putting in slide more quickly. Madam Chair, as the presentation is in front of you, basically what we have done in the, like I said, South African Figure Skating is now 25 years old. The association was established in 1937. As a CISA, when we had figure skating and speed skating combined, and that's when it was CISA, and CISA is now 85 years in South Africa. CISA has split up where the two branches have gone, the speed skating route and then also the figure skating route. That's why we have SAFSA, South African Figure Skating, for 25 years. Like the honorable member early indicated, SAFSA is a non-profit organization. We are official governing body of South African Figure Skating. We're responsible for the management of the sport. We're also responsible for the representation of all athletes. South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, we are a member of the SASCOC, and we've been a member since 1938. Madam Chair, South African Figure Skating, like we say, it's an NPO, it's a non-profit organization registered, and there's our number. Our volunteers, officer bearers is myself, the president of Ricardo Jacobs, the deputy president, Mr. Sheffield Yun, our national secretary, our treasurer, our national development officer, and our public relations officer, which is Mr. Joe Casavella. Basically, what our primary objective for figure skating in South Africa, there is, for me, my personal private objective is to develop figure skating for my athletes, number one. My second focus is to make sure that the organization grow and develop. The further development it is for the four disciplines that we have is the singles, the pairs, and the ice dance, and synchronized skating. We are all looking at the long-term participation development plan, and that is for our athletes in order to develop them and to become high elite athletes in order for them to feature on the big stage in the sense of the world competitions and the Olympics. And that is our aim and that is our goal at the end of the day. We have a development team that works with us, which has a national technical committee. We have a South African Figure Skating Commission, which is the coaches commission. And then we have the Sports Confederation, the SASCOC, that works with us in a sense in order to achieve this. The demographics that we have in the sense of within the sport, because of the annual report that I'm presenting to you today. The annual report that I'm presenting today is for the 2020 and 2021 season because of COVID. It had a major impact on our sport and as with other sports as well. So for us, in a sense, our numbers did not increase. We tried to retain our existing members, and some of our existing members also, we've lost some of existing members, and the organization is now working on a drive in order to push that forward again, in order to grow the numbers again within South Africa's borders. We have 48% club members, it's all previously disadvantaged group, the PDIs. The PDIs persons must be encouraged and become a coaches within our organization, and that is what our drive is as well for the focus for the SAFSA. Basically what we're looking at in order to develop these coaches is we have now embarked on a national coaching syllabus or program, as we can call it. It's the PSA system that we're using. It's a system that was developed within the American coaches system, and we have now adopted that system in order to develop our coaches within our country, in order to develop them and in order to be able to apply their skills also not just nationally but also internationally. The agenda of the development and transformation and mass mobilization must continue to occupy the highest priority for the SASA. So our focus is still to drive and get everybody. Doesn't matter who you are,
the South African figure skating is endeavor in order to make it the sport accessible for everybody. It doesn't matter who or who, where you're from. We are making sure that we are trying to go to the areas where the rural areas and also where the most disadvantaged people are at the moment. And we are focusing on those at the moment in order to develop that, in order to grow our base for figure skating and also to develop these athletes further. We have, when we look at judges and officials within the organization, important to have officials at the international level. So basically what we have two officials, international officials that has retired. We are still utilizing them on a national level, but not internationally. And with these people with international judging qualification, we are trying to develop our younger judges coming through and also to give them more exposure in order to send them on courses and also to develop them as well with on the national level. We enjoy a wealth of experience gained by the ISU, our International Federation, in order that is supporting the SAFSA in order to develop our judges and our officials in this capacity. The benefit of this is to transfer knowledge to all our judges, not just internationally, but also nationally and also provincially, and also our coaches. Like I mentioned, the COVID pandemic had a major impact on the training of our officials. So what we have done, and like all federations, probably all sports federations have done, we have now gone to the online platform where we did training and seminars, and that was out for both judges and coaches during the years of the pandemic. Our competition and international participation, like we all know, our country was closed in a sense for any athletes to go and compete internationally in the period of the COVID. So there was hardly any participation of our members or international athletes in order to compete, and this restriction was placed on the whole country. Like I said, provincial athletes were not able to hold annual provincial champions because of this. We also did not hold one in 2020. In 2019, we had to cancel our national championships because of COVID, and we had to shut our doors in the sense in order for our athletes and our coaches in order to go forward in order to make sure that they can develop themselves and also the sport going forward. So for that 2 years, the organization almost came to a standstill. Like all other federations have experienced great losses in a sense, not just by membership, but also financially. And that is basically what we've learned from this. The need to address the impact that this had, basically going forward, what we as an organization is going to do is, what we've been doing is, we have gone and back to the drawing board, and we have re-looked at our focus and also re-looked at the strategy of the SAFSA in order to try and not just to help our organization financially, but also to help our members and our provincial stakeholders in order to develop them, in order to grow their base. And that is basically on that. Statistically and general information, as from March 31st, 2021, no activity due to the COVID pandemic and the shutdown. Stats in Chile haven't changed from the previous years because of this, of the COVID pandemic. Direct membership, when you look at the direct membership in a sense, if you can see on Gauteng North, there's no members reported because of the reason for there was no members reported because is the information that was submitted to HQ, to our executive, was incorrect, and I felt that it should not go into my annual report because I will then have to give you the DSAC information that is incorrect, which I do not do. So that's why we kept that information out of the report, and we have actually reprimanded the Gauteng North in a sense on this matter. Our club member statistics, basically we have, these are the number of clubs that we have within the borders of South Africa. We have three clubs within the Western Cape. We have We have two clubs within Durban, and we have four clubs within Gauteng. And basically, these are the numbers that came through, and these are also the stats of the PDI members within these clubs in that current year. Development and proficiency tests. Basically, what this report says is basically that the levels of skaters and the tests that was done for these athletes is through the season. And basically, what Dwight tells, so I can give you an overview on this. What this actually tells us is how many skaters has put forward to doing tests in order to promote them to get promoted to the next level. And these are the tests, and this is are the proficiency tests on development of our athletes in order to make sure that they can move to the next level, because there is different stages in where our athlete develops. So they start, if I can give you an example, they start at a juvenile level, which is a skater that is under 10 years old, and then it progresses to a novice level, which is a skater under 12, and then it progresses to a junior level, which is skaters under 18, and then a senior level for skaters above 18 and above. So these are basically tests that these skaters do in order to achieve that level, in order to compete at the different levels of competition nationally and internationally. These are the different facilities that we have within the organization. It's not our facilities. All these facilities are privately owned, and we are renting this space in certain times from these service providers. And these are the different rinks in the different areas and the different provinces as well. The governance of SAFSA, the governance is like the gentleman earlier, the honourable member earlier alluded to. SAFSA promote to control and manage the following by it's managed by a SAFSA council, the executive committee, and provincial affiliates, which is the different provinces. Then we also have standing committees, which also assist the overall governance of the organization, which is the international selections, the national technical committee, the national judges technical committee, and also the rules and regulations, and also the African Association Commission, which is the coaches commission. That is it from my side, member. Honourable Chair, I'll leave it over to you once again. Thank you very much.
Anything with the financial statements, or do you have CFO who can talk about your finances?
Madam Chair, our CFO, like I mentioned earlier, is the apology from our CFO, the treasurer. All my members, the reason why these members could not be here as well is because of the short turnaround time that was given as well, because the previous meeting that was scheduled was cancelled or postponed. And that was the reason for our members not being available, and some of them are traveling as well, as I've mentioned.
I can't believe how much time do you want to be given? Because as these members, we know when did we take the decision that you must come. I don't think it's an excuse, that one. These honorable members can confirm the... But I don't know, what does that mean?
Honourable Chairperson, all my members that is serving on the executive with me, we are all, like I said, we are all volunteer based, and we're all permanent employed. And basically what we do is we do this after hours. This whole sport, we are driven by non-paid members. We are all volunteers, and all of them are permanently employed, and all of them are on the road currently for their work. And that's the reason why there's the absence of my executive.
No, I'm not disputing that, Ricardo, but the report can be presented by whoever was present with us. We did read your presentation, indicated that you are volunteers, but the next time we can't accept not to have a report, because in reality it was not the short notice. We don't do that when we're inviting people. Let me take this time. Thank you, Ricardo, to come in this meeting, being all of you volunteers. But the reality is that we do appreciate that whilst you are volunteers, when you are given money by the department, we expect each and everyone, full-time or no full-time, to come and account about the funds of the department. Because when we are not accounting, the department won't have a clean audit through the AG. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity. Please take your slides off. So assist them.
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I see Ms. Costavella has written some information on the chat. I'm not sure maybe if you're going to give her a chance if she wants to add something.
Yes, okay. He must. So thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
Madam, Honorable Chair, I've just put a little bit of information in the chat for the members. It is the first time I am attending this meeting, and I feel very privileged to be part of it. And I wanted to just say to you that during the reign of our president, it has been very empowering and very exciting to see how the bridges and the barriers are being broken down between our different race groups and ages, where figure skating is becoming a sport for all South Africans, where previously that wasn't the case. And it's something to make me very proud of working with our president. And I felt it's really important to highlight that, because in many of the smaller sports, you still have the different pillars. I thank you for your time, madam.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your contribution and your highlights. They are very important. I thank you. Honorable members, I'm taking it back to you now. Can you interact with the presentation? I'm having hands here. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Adams, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Joseph. Oh, let me start. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Adams, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Veronica, in that order. Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I still state that I'm not impressed. I welcome the presentation, but I'm not impressed with the leadership you're skating. First impression last, and you've stated clearly, I think we have the Chairperson that I honor, which is, it's all about accountability. We give them 400,000 per annum. They don't account. What happened to the money? That is the first question. And to the department, when did you start supporting skating financially? Which year? And then did they account their financial status? And can they confirm, did they receive funding in 2019, 2020 financial year? 2020-2021 financial year, can they confirm which year and then to date, how much they gave them, 100,000? And what I wanted to find out, what is the plan from the department to increase or to promote ice skating to be a public game, so to say, or sporting code that will be used even in the rural areas? Because you can see there's nothing in Limpopo, there's nothing in Northwest and other provinces. Now, what will the department do to promote this sporting code? What are we going to do as a department, especially we as a sporting committee? Because I think this sport, it's entertaining, it's good. I've seen it. I've went to one in Johannesburg and not riding, and I believe that we must promote the sporting code. And I'm shocked to hear that since 1938, but the sporting code is not even a priority to date. Since 1938, but it's not a priority. You question that. Chairperson, to Ricardo and Joe, the state financial status, what is it? Do you have audit report? Last time you claimed that your members are volunteered, they are not available today. The time, your first invite, when you are available, were you going to give us your financial status? Where is it today? Because you're supposed to prepare it, even if we've postponed the meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Msongo. Honorable Adams.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Please allow me to switch off my video.
Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, I also welcome the presentation. And good morning to all other members of DSEC and also our members, honorable members on the platform. Chairperson, my question will be, noting that the South African Figure Ice Skating Association is the only association in the African continent, what efforts or collaboration is the association at a professional level in the continent? What are the demographic of the volunteer office barriers, and if it is not reflected of the diversity of the demographic of our nation, how will the association ensure inclusion? Chairperson, my next question. The level of transformation of direct members is 94, which is just 18.84%. Why is this membership category have a low previously disadvantaged group representation? And how many PDIs are part of the Maori members and long-standing members? My last one, Chairperson. The figure skating athletes receive national colors to represent South Africa in internationally. Does the federation cover full traveling costs of athletes, or are athletes required to fund their own trips? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Sibiya.
Thanks, Chairperson. Morning to everyone. Chairperson, we welcome the both presentations. I think the Honorable Shon covered me partly on the issue of volunteers. We would like to know who told them not to come to the committee, as they are saying they are the volunteers. So if they are not fully employed, they are not supposed to come to the committee. Who told them that? The other question, what are the economic statistics of figure skating, and how sustainable is it for players? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sibiya. Honorable Zondi.
Good morning to honorable members and the
our guest.
Honorable Chair, a few questions to welcome the presentation.
I'm sorry.
Hi. Yeah. Honourable members.
You don't get me. Go on.
Ah, la la.
Okay, honourable members.
Yeah. Madam Misango asked a question on the how to popularize the disposed in court. But I have a question on that, but I'm afraid some of the municipalities don't have ice rink. This sporting court is in ice rink, and you can say which only metros are afforded the ice rink so far. So popularizing across rural communities, honestly, still difficult to be there. However, Chair, a few questions to the presentation. The first one, have you been there any case of sexual abuse of adults or minors within South African figure skating? Can the Federation brief the committee on the safeguarding policy and what measures are in place to protect the adults from sexual abuse? Second one, Chair, given the low participation rates in the sports of figure skating, how can the Federation make the sports more popular across South Africa? The next one says South Africa has a low of non-participation rate of Winter Olympic Games. Why is there a challenge in attracting athletes to participate in winter sports? What is the plan concerning developing the other four disciplines of singles, pairs, and ice dance and synchronized skating? And how will the sport be grown in an inclusive manner. The next question, Chair, if the 48% of the club members are from the previously disadvantaged grouping, how many are at a competitive phase of figure skating, and how many players represent the country in competition and championships internationally? And the last one, Chair, what is the progress in developing facilities which support transformation and mass mobilization? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sondi. Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all. And thank you for the presentations. I covered by most of the questions, Chairperson. I just would like something indirectly related. The fact that the sports code is not one of the 15 priority codes. I just want to ask the department if they can also provide the list of the 15 priority sports codes, as well as the from 16 to 50, the list of the sports coach that they financially support, which is, it will help a committee just to have an understanding on the priority list. Chairperson, I missed the abbreviation just to the skating delegation here. I missed that abbreviation on, they're not part of the EPG. They're not part of the EPG. I'd like to know what that means. Let's see. Federation. And then I would like to know the 100,000 that they received extra or more in the 2021-22 financial year. What are they spending that 100,000 on? And I would like to know how many international national and international events that took place over the last 3 or 4 years, or 2 years prior to COVID, rather. I would like to know if they pay fees to Commonwealth or any other international organizations they belong to. I would like to ask Chairperson that Ricardo can explain. I've heard a question on diversity from the previous members and the previously disadvantaged individuals, members and the clubs. So my question to Ricardo is, how is transformation built into your plan of developing the sports, as you indicated you want to develop the sports? I want to ask a question, Chairperson, on training of officials and the judges, and I would like the sports code to provide us with dates of their training and the programs that took place, the cost of the members or the participants, and the support they provided to the interested persons, and how many attended these training programs and training courses. I support the question from Member Sepo on the financial side. I feel that they must provide us with the last financial statements or annual reports, even if they're not here today. We respect their role as volunteers in the organization. We appreciate their interest. But yeah, there is no excuse not to submit reports to this meeting. So we would like to receive that report. And we also would like to know, we should know how much of the budget of the 400,000 as indicated is spent on admin, and how much of that money is going directly into the projects, and Chairperson. And then I would like the department, Chairperson, just to explain to us I had a question here for the department. Or maybe the department can't explain this. Maybe they can, I'm not sure. But I would like to know if anyone can tell me what is the cost of the of any facility, whether it's privately owned or state owned, what is the average cost to establish such a facility? Because it will just give us an idea of what we are dealing with, Chairperson. And then I support the other questions that the members ask. And my last point, Chairperson, is when you go to, for example, in Cape Town to Grand West, there's many people participating. So I'm not sure, and I'm sure those people go, families and friends go to socialize and to enjoy the sports. So I'm not sure if Mr. Jacobs can tell me if the organization that governs the sport code, if they are at these events, if there's interaction with the people who come there, if there's promotional time for them that they use, and to get members, people signed up and take it further, have a further interest in that sports at these events. For now, thank you, Chairperson. That's my questions. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by most of the questions. My one concern is also whether that Honorable Ms. Long will ask regarding the funding. Since when did this entity receive funding, and have they previously reported? Because with them not bringing or providing us with their financial statements, gives me an indication that maybe they have not before reported to the department and committee. So if we can just get clarity on that. And then from my side, I too am concerned about the safeguarding policies, and I would like to know whether the policies are in place, and as Honorable Zandi asked, whether there has been any reports of sexual abuse, and what do this entity do to prevent that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Frantic. Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me show my video. Can I switch it off, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Greetings to everyone. Let me also welcome the presentation, both the presentation. Chair, my question, it will be the first question, it will be based on the issue of the previously disadvantaged grouping, because on the slide under demographics, it says 48% of the club members are from the previously disadvantaged grouping. So I just want to check to say, do they have any coaches from the previously disadvantaged groups? And what are the future development plans in a measurable manner? The other question, it will be based on the issue of the pandemic, the impact of the pandemic. What is the plan of the association to recover from the impact of the pandemic closures of the sports activities? And what is the loss incurred? And also, I just want to find out on the issue of their financials. I just want to check, how does the federation remain financially sound or stable given the annual grant that is received from the department? And are there any, because I don't see whether do they have any sponsors or whatsoever, because I didn't see it on the presentation. The other thing is that what are the costs associated with participation if figure skating is televised with any broadcasting? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani. Honorable Mahlengosi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me see if my video is working this time. I would love to welcome the presentation and also greetings to my honorable colleagues and all the leaders of this entity. Chairperson, the skating organization seem to be taking the committee not seriously, and now that would be my very first question. Are they taking this portfolio committee seriously? Do they have future interest in getting funding from Parliament? And if they have, how come they didn't even have the financial statements, knowing that it is, excuse me, their very first time to come and present in this committee? Do they have a future, wishes to be supported by the Parliament? And are they independently secured in getting finances from wherever? Do they have individual like sponsors or separate people that are financing them, whether here at home or abroad? Those are the questions that I also want to find out. And also, if they're talking about having the some people who are working with the previously disadvantaged communities, where in these places do they have these ice rinks, and who are these people that they're talking about? Can we have their names and how they and how and when they have started doing this ice rinking? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlengosi. Honorable Sebisi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the honorable members and also the department. Chair, in the presentation of Ricardo, he said they failed to participate in Olympics and also in the Commonwealth Games. But now I would like to check if they are seriously about winning. I've seen that in their organogram, they only have seniors and juniors. So where is the youth athletes? They don't care. I mean, do they cater for the youth? Because it's where the development is starting. And once they bring in more youths, So those youths, when they go up to juniors, definitely they will excel. Or it's according to their sporting course that they only start with the juniors, then they do away with youths. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sibisi. Let me just emphasize in two contributions from honorable members. Firstly, I wanted to check with the department. When is the department? Yes. When? No, it's Ricardo. When he was saying that part of their presentation, they're saying that this sport, some are owned by privately owned. What does that mean? And then also I want to say that I'm really wanting to support these skating clubs, which are only three in provinces. And then if I can ask, what are the plans for expanding the sport to other provinces? I'm suspecting I'm supporting Honorable Mhlongo, who raised that question. And what are the challenges with developing facilities in other provinces? Also, I do appreciate for the first time to hear that in some of sporting codes, like here, that women membership is higher than that of men, and which is welcome. So, but what is the factor which is attracting more women than men in this sport? But I'm appreciating that. I want also to emphasize that within 7 days, on behalf of this committee, we want a return accounting on the finances of this South African figure. Ice skating. So it's very important. We cannot just leave it open like that. I'm giving time frames of 7 days that we'll be getting that report. Really, we do appreciate that you are all volunteers, but when money comes, it needs to be accounted. I thank you. Mr. Ricardo, now the ball is on your court.
In your court.
Yes.
Honourable Chair, thank you, Honourable Members, for the questions. Honourable Chair, I will start with your questions first that you asked. We'll start with the privately owned ice rinks. When we talk about privately owned ice rinks, the SAFSA, South African Figure Skating Association, does not own any facilities. That's the first thing that we need to understand. We do not own any facilities. All the facilities is privately owned by private businesses, private owners. In order to establish one building or one ice rink, of a facility, it will cost the organization plus mine in the amount of 20 million rand to set it up. That is just to put one ice rink in one province. That will cost us 20. That is just to put the building down and lay down the ice and making sure that the ice is maintained. That's what the cost will be. And then we're looking at costs in the sense of the overheads, which will run up to 2 million rand a year. That's how much it costs for us to build, to put the ice rink down and to maintain it. And that is the reason why there is not as many facilities around the country as we would like there to be. And I'll reiterate this again, the SAFSA do not own any of the facilities. We are not financially strong in order to we depend on this to allow us to operate our sport within their facilities. These private owners are there to make money, and the biggest factor for them is to generate funding, and that is through public sessions. And that is basically how this operates. So all the facilities around the country is privately owned, and there is no government-owned facility. There's nothing like that. It's only private-owned, and we depend on these service providers in order to do our sport within those facilities. So that is to cover the privately owned facilities. Skating clubs, you see. At the moment, what we are doing now also embarked on a couple of things. We have embarked on the following. We've embarked on animal chair.
Ricardo, what is going on now? We are cut. Why is cutting? This change the place where we are sitting. Because I cannot say switch off your video.
No,
your video is off.
No.
Okay.
I've not changed anything, Madam Chair. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me much better? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start on the privately owned organizations again?
Can
I continue?
Continue.
Okay,
yes,
so what we're doing thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Madam Chair. What we are doing in order to support our clubs, we are now focusing on establishing more clubs within provinces. Our stakeholders, which is the provincial bodies, are now instructed by the council and the executive in order to roll out more clubs in more areas. What we have done now in the Mpumalanga area, there's an ice rink that's privately owned where SAFSA is not yet involved. We have set money aside in order to establish a club within that ice rink, and then also within the northwest. There's another ice rink that has opened, and we also set money aside to open a club within that ice rink as well in order to grow the sport within those areas. We've set for both. We set aside 100,000 for each club, for each province in order to develop a club within that areas. So that is basically what we have done with the clubs. We've also now also asked all the stakeholders within the provinces in order to give us their in a sense in order for the development of more clubs within the immediate jurisdiction. To expand the sport, Madam Chair and honourable members, what we have done is all these facilities across the country where there is facilities, we have now gone and embarked on something where we are working with the owners of the ice rinks in order to develop more feet in the door and also more feet on the ice. And that is basically what we are doing. So we have also now embarked on that. We have had meetings with these owners of these ice rinks in order to work on a program in order to so that we have a project running within their facilities in order to help us to expand our footprint nationally. Also, Madam Chair, you asked the question of membership of women versus men. Madam Chair, the reason why there is more women within our sport is because of the attractiveness of the sport to women and to young girls and young ladies. And that's why we have more female within the sport. I can also mention we have a counter sport, which is ice hockey, which has we more crowd of men than women. So basically there's a toss up between the two sports where the young men and the young boys will opt for ice hockey and the young ladies will opt up to be almost like to opt for figure skating because it is more pretty dress, everything is more attractive and everything is to their liking. So that's why there is more women in the sport of figure skating than men at this current stage. Madam Chair, also, just to give you feedback as well on the financials, all our financials was submitted to the Department of Sport. They have all up-to-date financial reports all of the financials is with the department, and that is how we managed to get our funding, because our financials and everything was up to date, and all of those are with the financials. I do apologize for the fact that I don't have it with me at this current moment, but we do have that, and I can make sure that you have all the financials within the next day or two at your desk, and you can share it with the portfolio committee and honorary members. That is the questions on the chairperson. Honorable member Mokhlongo, you asked the following questions of the funding of the 400,000. I like to correct that. The funding that was made available for us was 300,000, and 100,000 of that funding was spent towards the administration costs of the organization, and the other 200,000 rand was spent on development projects within figure skating, and that is both development programs within the whole brand of the FAFSA, on a development on a grassroots level, and that's where we start. You also asked the question on Mosongo, when the rollout will be in Limpopo on the northwest, and like I've just mentioned, we have engaged with the owner of the ice rink in the northwest, and we are busy with him in a sense where we are going to step as a club within the northwest, and that should focus on the members and the rural community in the northwest, and also basically the Limpopo at the moment. We've also, like I said, we've also a facility has just opened within the Limpopo province, where also a private owner, where we are engaging with the private owner in order to also facilitate us in order to help us develop a club within that province. Member Mfunga, you asked the priority of the organization. The priority of the organization is we respect the portfolio committee. Madam Chair, as it is the first time that I and members and honorable members, it's the first time that I do come before you. I want to say thank you for the opportunity, like my PRO said, thank you for the opportunity, for giving us the opportunity to come before you. For me, as a new president, I was led to believe that we will do a presentation, and that was it. My apologies to the honourable members and to the Madam Chair for not presenting the financials, all the financials to you at this point, but it has been submitted to the Department of Sport, and they have all our relevant documents to show that we are in good governance and permanent proper. So the priority for us, we do not disrespect this portfolio committee at all. We keep you in the high esteem in a sense, because you are there in order to assist sporting bodies and sporting federations in order to make sure that we are kept on track, and making sure that we are focused on good governance, and we're making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. All the money that we have received from the department is well accounted for, and you will see that in our financials, where every cent has been accounted for. I'm going to go to the honourable member Adams. The questions that was posed by the honourable member. Are we the only association within the African continent? Yes, we are the only recognized one. We have now also partnered up with Egypt. We've partnered up with a member in one of the African countries as well. So we are now taking the lead with them in order to guide them in the sense of what figure skating is all about. They have now established a couple of ice rinks within Egypt, and also within the other African country is Senegal, in a sense, and also there was also one mention of the Kenya, and we are now taking the lead in order to guide these individuals in order to get them also to the level of a national and international standard. So we are partnering with these African countries. At the moment, South Africa, at the point of Africa, was the only country for years that was was the only African country that was participating on a national level in figures in the winter sport, on a national level and also in the international level. So we are looking at that. When you speak about our demographics, just to give you some information on demographics, within the Western Cape, our demographics is very strong in the sense where we have more people of color, black or colored, and Indian participants in the Western Cape. In the other provinces, like in KZN, we have participations of Indian and black and colored and white. And within the Gauteng at the moment, where we are struggling at the moment, where because of affordability for our members, that has left our members in the sense of where our demographic of black and colored members is a little bit low, but that is the only province where we are seeing that at this moment. You asked the question of diversity and what it means for us within the organization. For me, when I took over the helm 2.5 years ago, I made a very broad statement and to the council of the SAFSA in order to say that 50% of our executive and our council needs to be women, and the rest can be men if it needs to be. But 50% needs to be, and that is part and parcel that I'm now going to be put to our council to make it part of our constitution going forward. And that is basically what we're looking at when we're looking at diversity within our executive and on our council level at the moment in our provinces. We have a 70-30% demographic where it leads to the minority at the moment, and I'm currently working on it, because previously, before I managed to walk into this position, it was previously 80-20%. So we are now moving into a direction where we are focused on making sure that there is a balance of diversity within not just our executive, our council, but also at provincial level, and also within the sport with the athletes as well. So we are looking at that. Transformation is a major key for us within the sport, and we are transforming all the time. And we have actually now what I've done is I've actually spoken to the chairpersons of all my stakeholders within the provinces, and I made it very clear that the drive for our organization is to grow the diversity. And we've also now just before the COVID, we have now partnered up with a diversity group from America, in a sense where they have come on board to assist one of our provinces, our two provinces within Gauteng, in order to help them, in order to look at diversity, in order to drive that and push that more within the Gauteng province. So that is basically what we're doing within the Gauteng province. The question also by Adams was, Honorable Mayor Adams, was the 18.84 low PDI. Basically, what we have done in that 18 point, when we're looking at PDI and how we promote and push PDI within our sport, we have set some money aside, money that we received from our international federation in order to drive previously disadvantaged, in order to help the development in previous disadvantage. So we are very focused on PDI, and we are making sure that there is a good transformation of funding into that for us, for our athletes, in order for them to develop, because in a sense the sport itself as well, because of we're hiring the facilities, it makes it expensive at the end of the day. And the third question that Honorable Adams, the member Adams, said was the figure skating do they get national colors? Honorable Member Adams, the only athletes that get national colors is our competitors that compete at junior world championships and also world championships and Olympic championships. The other competitors that goes to other international competitors do not get national colors. They get the SAFSA colors in order to present the SASA at international competition. So everybody don't get automatically Protea colors in order to go and present South Africa internationally. The only our junior level, and at the junior level, which is at the junior level skating, and also at the senior level, they get presented with national colors, which there's a process that we follow via the SASCOC. And now I'm going to move to Honourable Member Sibaya. The question where he says the volunteers, where nobody told them that they should not come to the meeting, Honourable Member. The members that I and I'm not making excuse for any of my members, for my any of my executive, my executives informed me that look, the turnaround time is a little bit short because their business and their jobs that's planned already these things where they're on the road previously. So we do respect this committee, and we respect the members of this committee, and we are not taking it as a nothing that you've asked us to appear before you. We respect the fact that we who you are and also what you stand for. The economic status of SASA, and also the status of SASA and the affordability of SASA. Now, when we look at the economics of the SASA at the moment, previously, like my PRO mentioned, the SASA was seen as a white elite sport. And we, over the years, over the 10 years or that I've been able to be part and raise my voice on a provincial committee, and now that I'm sitting at the helm of the sport, we have grown the organization in a sense economically wise. We have managed to financially the organization. Look, we are a small organization. I can tell you also, because you will see my bank statement with that there's a balance of 2 million rand within the bank account, in a sense, for different projects, for different development, for different projects within sport, within South Africa. And that's how we have grown from a balance of 14,000 to a balance of 2 million rand in a sense over the past 6 to 10 years. The status of the organization, this organization is strong in a sense where we have for the last, prior to me taking over as the president of this organization, we have not received funding from the Department of Sport. Okay, the last two years is when we started to get funding from the sport, where I have put all the reports together, making sure that all financials and all good governance is in place in order to get the funding from the department. And we have now for 2 consecutive years received the funding from the Department of Sport. So we appreciate every support that we get from the department. You asked the question of affordability. Yes, our sport, because of the situation that the sport is in, and also because of the facility that we are not owned by the SASA or not run by the SASA, the affordability becomes a question. The affordability becomes a question in the sense of who are we earmarking, who are we targeting for the sport. Now, I can tell you categorically that I am targeting all South Africans. And I've now put it in place where I want to make it affordable for all members of South Africa in order to participate within our sport. And we have created now avenues and also opportunities where we're going to roll out certain projects in order to help the PDI, the people in the rural areas and stuff like that, to develop them more in order to get them more inclusive into the sport, and also to develop them. And not just to say, okay, we're going to spend 1,000 rand on them and see what they can do. Now, we are actually now putting our hands in our pocket and also to try to move the sport forward with our people in the rural areas, also our previous disadvantaged people, in order to help them to grow the sport and help them develop, not just as athletes for South Africa, but as greater human beings within the South Africa as a whole. So those are the things that we're looking at, Member Sibaya, Honourable Member Sibaya. Honourable Member Zondi, your question is how do we prioritise the sport? And that is a question that I will leave over to the Department of Sport, because that question is posed to them. You asked the question as well of, was there any sexual abuse within the sport? I can tell you here, and in category, that there was never any question of sexual abuse within our sport, not before, not now, and not even before me. And I'm very happy to say that we are South African Figure Skating has already rolled out the safeguarding with the Guardian within our sport for the last, just before COVID, that when COVID started, we have rolled out the safeguarding within our sport already. And that has now, and that has also led that our international federation, the ISU, has also came on board, and they have now implemented that worldwide as well. So we are ahead of the curve at the moment, and we have done those kind of things in a sense where we are making sure that the safeguarding is in place. We have forwarded all our policy document of safeguarding also to the Department of Sport, and they have that also on file. Lower participation, how can we increase that? Like I've previously mentioned, how are we going to increase that? We are focused on certain things wherever there is a facility within the country, we're going to be, SAFSA will open a branch within those facilities in order to drive the sport, in order to grow the sport. And that is how we're going to increase the low participation of athletes. And we're also going to develop them, putting through a development program, which we call the Stepping Stones, which I have developed within the Western Province, and it worked, and it showed great rewards for the national body that it can happen, it can work, and we have proven results of that already. So that is just on the questions of Honourable Zondi. I'm coming now to the questions of the Honourable Zondi. Continue. Why is it so low? And I've just mentioned, because of affordability, it has always played a big role within the numbers of figure skating, but we are addressing that matter at this moment. We are putting funding aside in order to go and say, okay, what do we need? How do we need it? But we're also not doing it just from an HQ level. We are also doing it on a provincial level and club level as well. So it's filtered down from top down, and that goes from our HQ to our club level, our provincials, and to our club levels in order to make sure that we grow the numbers. I've also answered your question how we will grow the sport in inclusive way manner. You also asked the question of the 48%, how we can compete, how can we competitive. I've answered that already, that question already, because the previous member asked that question as well. You also asked the same question of the transformation, the support of transformation, and that was also answered. I'm going to go to the question of Honourable Member Joseph. The priority codes that you're asking, that I will leave that to the Department of Sport, because they would be able to give you the answer on that. Also, the next question of the financial support, that will also be from the Department of Sport and the EPG as well. Like I've mentioned, the money that was given to the SAFSA over the 2 years was every year it was 300, the previous year was 300, and then the next year was 350,000 rand. That was given to the SAFSA as funding to help with the day-to-day running and the good governance of the sport. And like I said, 100,000 of that money of the 350,000 was spent on admin, and the other 250,000 was spent on development and projects within the organization. International events, you've asked the question of international events, and also the fees concerning Commonwealth and all that. So international events, I have been sending our athletes to international events, and because of the situation of financial situation, in the sense of for our organization, seeing that we are such a small sport, our athletes, when they travel internationally, we try and support our athletes by giving them some kind of finance in order to help them. We can't fully finance them their international trip or international competition because of the our funding being limited in a sense in order to send every athlete overseas. Also, basically what we have do, we have a process where we have international selection where we select certain athletes that have achieved first, second or third. And we then send, we try and prioritize these athletes in order to send them internationally. But it's also, it's a situation where the athletes also and the parents come on board and fund the trip as well. So we support our athletes, and we also, athletes also get support through the provincial bodies where they will also then come on board and give some financial support to the member. As on my member, I see Mr. Veronica van Dijk had her hand up.
Chairperson, I will wait until you finish, President. Sorry for that.
Okay, sorry, thank you very much.
I'm telling you that I'm chairing.
Sorry, President. Sorry, Honorable Chairperson. sorry, Honorable Chairperson. my apologies.
Okay.
We explained the diversity already. Honorable Joseph also asked the question of the fees to the Commonwealth. Look, we do not belong to the Commonwealth because we are a winter sport, and we have never been given an opportunity to compete at the Commonwealth winter sports in a sense. What we have done in a sense, we are a member of the ISU International Federation, and we do pay a membership fee to them, which comes to the amount of plus minus 8,000 rand per annum. That is what we do pay to our international federation that we belong to. You also asked, you explained the diversity transformation. I've done that. You asked the question of training of officials, the cost involved as well, Honorable Joseph. That you will find out once the DSAC or myself submit the annual report to you guys. You will see that all those are outlined line for line items of what we have done and what the amount of money is spent on for officials and for training up of officials within the organization. So that will be highlighted within the financials for you as well. The training programs that you also asked and you alluded to, that is also part and parcel of what we are doing. Like I've alluded earlier on, we for our coaches, we have embarked on a coach accreditation program, which is called the PSA coach accreditation, where we have partnered with a company within America in order to help us to develop this coach accreditation, which we also had a meeting with the SASCOC chairperson on a coaches program, which they gave us the go-ahead to say that those are things that they will help us with in order to get that approved and going forward with that. So those are things that we're doing in order to help our coaches and our coaching staff in order to develop them in order to become better at their skill in order to move forward on that. Then you also alluded to how much was spent from the fees, and I've already explained that on the admin and the development. Also, cost of the facilities, which I've mentioned, is over 20 million rand in order to put up one of these facilities. You also asked the question, Honorable Member Joseph, of the public sessions, and do we promote? Yes, we do promote our figure skating at all public sessions. At all ice rinks, we do promote it. I've actually gone, if you walk into the one in the Grand West, which is called the Ice Station, you would see we have big screen TVs that promote it on every public session that happens at the ice rink. We have also done shows and stuff like that in order to promote our figure skating at other venues across the country, where we've invited the public to come and watch the spectacle of figure skating on ice. So we are always promoting the sport of figure skating. We are always promoting the sport of figure skating also at our schools, where we do presentations at our schools. So we have done all these kind of things in order to promote the sport of figure skating, not just at the ice rinks, but also in schools. Excuse me. Now I'm going to answer the questions of Honorable Honourable Member Cecile promised the issue of disadvantage and the grouping of it and the coaches. I've covered the coaching situation. I'm going to cover the coaching situation quickly. You asked the question of do we have any PDI coaches within the system? Yes, we do. I'm proud to say that we do. We do not have a majority of it yet, and that is our focus. Our drive is to go in the route of developing coaches more PDI coaches in order to so that our coaches have a good understanding and also the not just of skating but also culture of people, and that is basically what we are focusing on going forward. So that's why we brought in the PSA system in order to develop the one side of the coach, and we're also busy embarking with the coaches commission in order to drive the development of mentoring our younger coaches and our previously disadvantaged coaches to come through. So those are things that we have definitely on our cards, and definitely something that we are focusing on going forward. You ask also on the pandemic, on the impact of the pandemic on the organization. They had a major impact, just like any other sports federation, but it had a major impact on our coaches, especially because basically, if the coach do not coach, he doesn't earn an income. So for the 2 years, the coaches has been supported by our stakeholder, which is the province, and also the SAFSA, in order to help them cope through this time. So it had a major impact on them. It also had a major impact on these coaches losing their pupils because of they are no longer being able to come to the ice rink, and there's no longer being an income for the coaches, or there's no longer opportunity for the skaters or the athletes to hone their skills in order to develop themselves. So that has definitely played a major role within figure skating South Africa, and it gave us a big knock in a sense. Our member tally, and we are now starting to grow that again. We have now reopened, and we have put different projects in place in order to help us in order to grow the membership of our organization. The activities that's happening within the organization, we have now, I'm happy to say that we had our national championships not so long ago, and we also had, the weekend past, we had an inter-provincial competition in KZN, and all activities are slowly starting to go back to normal, and I'm very happy to report that our numbers are increasing as well. And also to happy to report to say that there is a greater number of previously disadvantaged members coming through our doors as well in order to get involved within the sport. So I'm very happy with that. The question of the financial sound, I've alluded to that already. You asked the questions, do we have any sponsors? No, we do not have any sponsors. The sport, we managed to get small sponsors in a sense, but it's not financial sponsors, but it is material sponsors in a sense where they come on board and gave certain things like they sponsor water bottles and stuff like those. So we do not have any big sponsors that are on our books at all. So our focus is now, for the season already, we have with the PRO that is on the call, and maybe at a later stage she can maybe just give us more feedback on that. But we have now embarked in going the route of sponsors. Where we're getting our finances from is in the sense of our international federations, where they support us very well as well in a sense with funding for development, and all the funding that they give us is all for development. It's for nothing else. It's all the funding that we receive from the International Federation is for development, and also to assist the athletes that travel international in order to give them some support with that funding. So those are the money that we're getting from the International Federation. Cost with participation, like I said, in order for, I'm going to give an example quickly. Honorable Vusele, in order to put a skater on the ice, the first thing we need to do is we need to give that skater a pair of skates in order to get onto the ice. And that skate can cost the individual anything between 2,500 to 10,000 rand. So that is already a cost that we are now trying to subsidize our athletes in a sense in order to help them by using the development funding and also using the project funding in order to make sure that we can make it more affordable for these participants in order to get onto the ice. That is just for that cost between 2,500 and 10,000, that is just for the skates to get onto the ice. Now we're talking about lessons for the membership fees for the member. We're talking about costumes for the member, and that for one athlete, you're looking at the cost of just to outfit one athlete if they become a solo skater. You're looking at anything between a monthly cost of anything between 5,500 to 10,000 rand. That's basically what you're looking at. In order to just put one athlete on the ice in order to get them out with everything and give them all the lessons and develop them. That is what it will cost us. So that is just a picture of what you're looking at in order to develop an athlete within in the sport. Then we're going to Honorable Mangilingozi. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your surname incorrectly, I do apologize. Do we take committee seriously? Like I've mentioned, we do take this committee very seriously. Me, myself, I am the one person that is in support of this committee in order because it gives the board, the federation and all people understanding of the accountability and also to make sure that good governance do happen within the sports. Sports federations, and that's why I support this, and I sincerely, Mangalisi, I sincerely hope that you do understand that I do, honourable member, I do take this committee very seriously. The future wishes to be supported. Yes, we do wish to be supported in future by the Department of Sport, and we do comply with everything that the Department of Sport asks of us. We do, when they ask us for reporting, we do report. If they ask for us our annual financials, so we do supply all the relevant information to them in order to be within good governance. So I can honestly tell you, if you ask the gentleman, the assistant director, Mr. Mankompani, he will be able to give you all that information on his fingertips. Financial support, like I said, financial support, we get our financial support from the Department of Sport and also our International Federation. That is where we're getting our support from. PDI, where and when? PDI happens, like I said, throughout the country, and that is not just the HQ's responsibility, but it's also part of our stakeholders at a branch level, at the provincial level, and also at the club level. So it happens on all levels, Honorable Mandlingfosi. Going to Honorable Zimbizi, Honorable Member, failed to participate. Basically, you asked the question of the failure to participate. For me, it's a tough situation that our sport is in, and I'm not making excuses for our sport. I'm just saying it is. We are now moving in a direction where we are putting money aside in order to help our rural PDI members in order to get into the sport and to develop them. But it comes at great cost for our organization, and we are well aware, when we are not saying that we are not willing to spend the funds, we are spending the money on that in order to develop. Senior and junior, and the system that all other sports are using and versus the sport that of SAFSA figure skating, South African figure skating, is slightly different, Honorable Sibisi. The reason why I say when you're looking at senior and junior, we have what they call juvenile, we have what they call skaters on the age level of, our younger skaters on the ice is at the age of 3 years old. Honorable CBC. So we have those skaters, but there's a process that we use within the sport, which is recognized by international federation in order for us to compete internationally. But we also have a constitution and rules and regulations that we have set in for South African figure skating, where we have also opened those doors for our people within our country in order to participate. So we are definitely on the drive where we want our slogan is very, very clear that we're inclusive and we want everybody to participate, to be part of figure skating, not just for a time being, but for life. So that is basically what we do. So there is lots of youth participation, honorable member. So I can honestly tell you, if you come into any of our competitions, you will see the number of youth in our sport, and we do have lots of youth. We have more youth than adults within our sport. That's the question of the honorable Sibisi. That is it from my side. Honorable Chair, maybe I can just ask, if you, with your permission, Honorable Chair, if we can ask my PRO, Joe Costavella, to give you some feedback on the safeguarding and also on the PRO functions of sponsors within our organization, if you would allow that.
I do. Thank you, President. You must do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We appreciate the opportunity. I'd like to touch on safeguarding. First, safeguarding, we have partnered with The Guardian and we do ongoing training with our athletes, the coaches and the parents in figure skating. We have a principle at the SAPSA, if you are not safeguarding compliant, you do not coach. As a coach, for example, we have made it possible for all our members to make use of the anonymous app, which is used through The Guardian. And at this stage and prior to this stage, we have not had any cases of sexual abuse reported. The training and the awareness campaigns about safeguarding at the SAPSA is ongoing. The second point I'd like to raise is regarding the PDIs and development of PDIs as coaches and as judges. The SAFSA has embarked on a project where we now target the athletes when they reach the matric level, because generally once the youngsters start writing their matric exams, you find they fall through the cracks, and obviously education takes a priority. Now we are grabbing specifically our black athletes, and that is very prevalent in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng and in the Western Province. We've been now saying to our athletes, yes, we understand the trick and education is important, but even when you go to university, you can still share your love for figure skating. And we develop the black athletes into coaches and into judges. However, it's not something that happens overnight, and it is a process. But we are increasing slowly, step by step, our black judges and our black coaches. The third point I'd like to make you aware of, Madam Chair, if I may, is when it comes to promoting figure skating, we do embark on extensive marketing drives. The challenge we face as a federation is that the time allocated by the owners of the ice rinks for training is generally any time from 5 a.m. in the morning. That makes it very difficult in many of the provinces for our athletes who come from informal settlements and from townships to reach the facility to do the training. And that is where funding will assist us to allow us to pay more for the hire of the ice time so that we can also increase our black and members of figure skating. Our president, Mr. Jacobs, asked me to touch on fundraising. SAFSA is an NPO, so that means that companies don't have any tax benefits. They don't get, you know, they can't write off any contribution or donation they make to the SAFSA. So funding from industry and private companies has to come from the marketing and public relations budgets. And one of the things we are now embarking on is to partner with private companies, starting with the National Figure Skating Championships, where we can then increase the traffic, not just to the live streaming of the national championship, but we can also promote figure skating as a sport to a wider database. And lastly, Madam Chair, I must admit you remind me very much of VC, Professor Lenkabula. When I listened to you talk, as SAFSA, we would like to invite yourself, your Honorable Chair, as well as all the Honorable Members, to come and experience figure skating firsthand. Please, if you'd like to come and put in a pair of skates, please contact our President, and we will make the necessary arrangements to take you and your family onto the ice that you can feel exactly what it is and how it feels for our athletes and experience the challenge and the joy of figure skating. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much to you, John. DDG, I'm coming back to you, try and give direction to your team.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you to Figure Skating for their presentation and also the comprehensive report's responses to the questions. Just from my side, Madam Chair, I'm going to respond to a few, and then Mr. Nube will respond to the rest of the questions. On the issue of the EPG, why isn't figure skating part of the EPG? There are 19 codes of sport. We try to look at those codes of sport in the EPG that are more mass participation and high performance, as well as looking at those that historically needed greater transformation to start to assist them and bring them into the fold of the transformation agenda. But it was not exhaustive. The 19 doesn't make up the entire landscape of sports codes that are recognized. So the idea is for us to then, over the years now, increase. We had to take a sample and make sure that we put them through the EPG process and then start building on that. And hence, figure skating has not been part of that. The issue of the funding, the question around, you know, how much of their funding, you know, goes towards admin and how much goes towards their programs. I think Mr. Jacobs has responded. But from our side, Chairperson, we have a funding criteria. And in that criteria, there are two streams. The one is guaranteed funding, and the other is conditional funding. And under the guaranteed funding, our funding goes towards the administrative part. And under conditional funding, it's to deal with all of those issues that come out of the transformation charter. And I think figure skating is well aware of that and how the funding should be allocated. So that's how we would fund them in terms of administration costs, which is mainly most of those guaranteed funding. Madam Chair, on the issue of priority codes of sport, as has been asked, which are the priority codes of sport and what is the list of the other 60 that we fund? We will provide a document that tells you which are the 60 codes of sport. But Madam Chair, we will always indicate this in our annual report as well. So if you go through our annual reports, you'll find all the codes of sport that receive funding and the amount that they also receive. But with regard to the 16 priority codes, it's football, netball, rugby, cricket, athletics, basketball, volleyball, goalball, which is for the partially sighted, swimming, gymnastics, hockey, softball, chess, table tennis, and open or amateur boxing. So those are the priority codes of sports we would focus on. And then the question would be asked, so how do we determine the priority codes of sport? If we look at the priority codes of sport, Madam Chair, it's premised on a few things. But broadly, we look at two areas. We look at one area of those codes of sport that have the potential to bring medals and glory to the country. And we look at those, so that is called the more medals section. And then we have the other area of priority codes is those codes of sport is a more people's code of sport. Those that has a greater footprint lends itself to mass participation and physical activity. And you can further look at both of those two categories and then break it down even further to say that in your more medals code of sport, which are those that have a direct link of participating at events within their federations, like their world champs and other events, and then those that, and those codes that also are Olympic codes, are Commonwealth codes, participate at a continental level, so they would be part of the priority codes. But Madam Chair, we are in the process of finalizing a prioritization of codes policy. So that's to respond to that. The other area of facilities, I think the President also spoke about the facilities. It's very expensive for us to take those code of sport to different provinces. How do we extend the reach? Access is important. If they don't have facilities, they cannot increase the number of people who participate in the code. And hence, the facility, as Mr. Jacobs has indicated, it's a very expensive. At a basic level, it's 19 million. But if you start looking at the technicalities that must go into a facility, if you look at the long-term maintenance of that facility, all that has to be in place. And then the other thing is, you also have to address yourself to the needs of people. You cannot put a facility if there's no interest. So the whole process is to try to build interest there, and I would believe the code would have a plan to say, how do we take it to other provinces? How do we then also give access to those codes, those provinces, or those interested, perhaps to go to other areas, so it starts the interest, and eventually somewhere you start to look at how facilities can be developed. Chairperson, I think the committee is well aware that we do not have our own funding for facilities. We're reliant on the MIG. And if you look at the MIG formula as well, they look at mainly the basic facilities that can service many, many people in a community. But I would believe that over the years, we would need to look at even other areas of facilities or types of facilities, and especially with ice skating and figure skating, which are indoor facilities. So we would need to look at it. If you look at the facility that is in Durban, the Olive facility, as much as it's a figure skating facility, they also use it for other activities. We had the Telkom Netball Championships on the same facilities where ice skating takes place. So even the owners themselves have to make sure that the facility, that they get as much the revenue out of a facility with other codes so that it can subsidize perhaps their core business, which is the ice skating. Madam Chair, I think let me leave it at that. Some people will speak about the funding that has been given over the years. He will speak about also the financials around the compliance issues with the skating and anything else that I may have not covered, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DDG. Honorable members, these are responses that we're getting, and I'm hoping as the new president is promising, the only thing that I was thinking that DDG is going to indicate is this question of the report the financial report which is with them. But in future, when the report is with the department, the presentation of anyone who's coming to this committee, you must bear in mind that you must have again a fully fledged report accompanied by your financial report. I'll come back to Honorable Mhlongo and Honorable Mahlingos. Honorable members, please hold it. DDG.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I've indicated, Mr. Nube is actually going to speak to the report, the financial report and the funding. As I've indicated, I would respond to some of the questions and he would then speak about those finance as Chairperson is speaking.
Yeah, okay. You must do that. Thank
okay, you. So Sylvia, over to you. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, let me just start off by indicating, Honorable Chair, that we have seen an improvement in this federation since the president and the new executive came in 2 years ago. The periods 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, the federation could not access funding, primarily due to non-compliance matters in terms of submission of the audited financial statements. So which means we had last provided financial support in 2016-2017 financial year. So when the president took over, we then worked with him in terms of getting the documents right. So in 2020 financial year, 2021, that's when then they began to receive the funds again. And then in the financial year 2021-2020, they also then received the funds. For the current cycle, we are still awaiting the audited financial statements for the period that ended 31st March 2022, which will then be which forms part of the requirements for us to provide the excuse me, Chair, would Mr. Manamele, would you ask the colleagues outside to lower down the voices? Apologies, Chair. My office is next to the kitchen, so I often get a bit of disturbance. Chair, for the current cycle, as I was indicating, we are awaiting the audited financial statements for the period ending 31st March 2022. Chair, just to then also indicate that we can provide the audited financial statements which were last submitted to us. However, they will not then be covering the period under review, which is the period ending 31st March 2022. Chair, the other part that I just needed to also touch on, I think DG has covered the area of promotion, particularly the infrastructure. I will just touch on the safeguarding requirements, just to reemphasize, Madam Chair and the members of the committee, that in previous meetings we committed to the committee that we are going to infuse into the funding requirements a minimum requirement that if a federation does not have as a basic minimum the safeguarding policy, we will not even begin to entertain their application. Chair, I can safely confirm that figure skating is one of the federations that has submitted their safeguarding policy. And this will go for the rest of the federations as well, Chair. I think this covers this part. Chair, I think those are broadly the questions that were still outstanding for us to clarify and respond to, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair, and the members of the committee.
Thank you, Simpiwe. Honorable Mhlongo, followed by Honorable Mhlongosi, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted this question directly to DDG come.
Do you have any criteria or any policy used to build a facility or any for sporting codes or in any communities? Like, can we develop, or is there any requirement for us to, as a community, let's say I'm from Orlando, we want to build a sporting facility like skating and everything, that we must apply to the department for its either recreation facility, or is it based on densification? Or let's say my community, now we are getting more population and then we have only one facility and we need more facilities. Is there any policy that is in place, or what criteria do you use? Another question to, especially to the skating chapter's president and the PMO. I think it's clear that you here it's 6 months and you still did not comply. 6 months after March to date, and there are no financial status. I question that because there was a time when the department are telling us that they stopped giving you funding because of non-compliance. I think this must be either you raise your bar high or you're not getting money, and we're not even going to support if you don't comply. I think it's one of the requirements that you must comply. Now it shows it 6 months after. And to the department directly, when is the actual due date for all entity, all sporting code or federation to submit the financial requirement? Is it 6 months after or after 12 months? What is the actual due date for them to supply you guys with financial status? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mshong, Honorable Matlingose, and Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chair. I might sound like I'm shutting down people's dreams here, but there are sporting codes that are only targeted on the elite and rich members of our society. And these kind of sporting codes have no African orientation. The ice skating needs an artificial territory to be created in order for it to be executed. It is a sport that entertains foreign Westerners. Chairperson, it is well and good for the sport to be sponsored by international federations, because our parliament should not be financially supporting a sport that depends on facilities that are individually owned by rich white men. Chairperson, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture cannot sustain sporting this kind of sport because the very fact is that it depends on the special artificial environment that are very expensive to create. It is very clear that there will always be lower participation of black kids from this sport, besides few affording black families, because it will be not realistic to expect the building and creation of such fake environments. The less financial support from the government, from the Department of Sports and Culture, is better. It is all wishes, Chairperson. Like, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride, as the Scottish nursery rhyme goes. Like, the question that I had for the department, DDG, answered them that, do they think that it is feasible and sustainable to have this elite sport funded financially? And how and what kind of knock would the department feel financially to create and build such spaces in rural areas? And go, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matlingose. Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is basically on a point of order that I did not want to raise while the President was still speaking. But I would like to the President to withdraw his remark that there are more girls and females in the sport because they like pretty things. I think we will all agree that this sport is difficult and that you need a lot of discipline, and that this type of remark can be interpreted as offensive. And then he should have rather responded that on what they are doing to promote the sport across genders. That is my one comment. And then I would just like to ask from the Deputy DG, I think I missed out, on the priority codes, are there any disabled sport codes also that resonate under that or not? And the entity also referred to the Guardian that has been doing the safeguarding. If the DG can maybe also respond, maybe come back to the committee, I would like to know whether how the guardian was appointed, whether there was a tender process, and when was this advert put out, and how many people did companies applied for this position of safeguarding in the SASCOC as such. That is my question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Veronica. Please, Honourable Members, lower your hands. Let me go back to the President and the Department. I thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the question of the Honourable Mang Glogosi, development of, we speak about if we're wasting our money in a sense on the sport, in a sense of facilities, the question is, Honourable Member, we are more than developing just an athlete within figure skating. I can honestly tell you, because I was a figure skater myself. I started at the age of 13 years old. I walked to the ice rink 30 kilometers every day in order to participate in the sport. I'm a person of color, and I walk to the ice rink every day, and I developed in the sport where people identified that there was talent. I came in a background where there was no fun, there was no money at all. So the question that you have, are we putting money in order to develop a white man sport? That I feel that is inappropriate. I think that is wrong. That is my opinion. I feel that basically what we are doing is we are developing more than just an athlete. We are developing members of society within our sport. I can honestly say, because I'm sitting here as a proud member, I'm the president of this organization where I started in 1982 as a member of a figure skating club. And I never thought that I would amount to becoming the president of this organization. So for me, like I said, Honourable Member, it's more than just an athlete. We are developing people, and we are empowering people, and we are actually opening doors through figure skating for people. So we need to have a broader vision when we look at these things. It's not just about the sport itself. It's about people. That is what we're doing. So that is just to respond to the Honourable Mangulusi. Honourable Member of Veronica van Dijk, the reason why I mentioned the pretty dress...
Chairperson, please, my name, Mazingozi.
I do apologize to you, Honourable Member. I do apologize to you. My apologies for mispronouncing your surname. I do apologize. Honourable Veronica van Dijk, member. The reason why I mentioned the plastic dresses and all that, that is when the first time a skater walks into ice cream, and that is what she sees. When they come into competition, they see how the plastic dresses and how the spins are happening. And that is how I just used that phrase within my presentation. And there was no disrespect to any female or anything like that on why there is more female than more than male. It was very simple. It's just, this is how a young girl that walks into the ice rink that I've seen with my own eyes. They walk into the ice rink for the first time, and they see these beautiful spectacle happening, and they want to be part of it. And when you ask the question of why do they want to be part of it, and they will answer you, because of the pretty dress and because of how beautiful they look. And that is what I use. Honourable Member, so please, I hope that answers the question. On I'm not putting any female down or anything in that sense. I'm just saying what I know and what I see on a day-to-day basis when I deal with these athletes coming to the ice rink. That is also on the member on the due date of the financials. We have submitted to the the Department of Sport. The reason why there was the all the financials has not been submitted to them because of something between the SAFCOC and our federation that needs to be sorted out on our financials in order for them to go through. So that's the only hold up on that, and that's the information that was shared with the Department of Sport as current. And the financial support will be submitted with our report when we apply for our current grant. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm suspecting department you must assist this committee to do your oversight to your entities. This report now, which is coming up, was supposed to come with this explanation before even the members are raising a look on what the president is saying about waiting for SASCOC. SASCOC is your baby that you are having an oversight to SASCOC. SASCOC and then now with this ice skating people, we need a report within 7 days. Honorable members, I don't know, DDG, I want to release everyone. Do you want to say something?
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. No, we note the comments from the President and we take note of what the Chairperson has said. Just to indicate to Mr. Mhlongo, are we able to have a document or something? We do have the norms and standards for sports facilities, the infrastructure development. There's two volumes of that document. One is talks about the operators manual. The other one gives you all the technical information. However, the code of ice rinks, figure skating, things that you need for figure skating like ice rinks are not part of that, because I think in developing that we had to start off at a developmental level to say which codes of sport that can lend itself to getting more people to participate. So that was the basis where we started the norms and standards document. It has developed, and we are in the phase of also looking at a consultative process with all the municipalities now to update the norms and standard documents. But there is a document for norms and standards. Further, we also had a classification framework where, for example, if you're going to build a facility, you have to consider type of facility that goes there. You cannot build a 30,000 seater stadium in an area where there's 10,000 people living. So who would maintain it? How would we utilize it? If you want to have a major event, is there the necessary infrastructure to accommodate people who need to stay overnight within that area? So that classification framework speaks to all of that. But just to indicate, yes, there is a document. However, it doesn't cater for the figure skating fraternity. The issue of disability sports codes, yes, all of those codes of sport, cross-cutting across the board, they do have to make provision for people with disabilities. And all of them, in fact, all of the codes of sport, Madam Chair, that get funding from us have to actually adhere to the Transformation Charter. And the Transformation Charter is very clear that people with disabilities have to be part of it. With regard to the SASCOC Safeguarding Commission, Madam Chair, SASCOC, as much as they are formed in terms of a clause in the South African Sport and Recreation Act, they do run an entity based on their own constitution. And when they set up their own committees, they have the criteria. So for now, I can't indicate what the criteria is, but they have a system of how they appoint people into their various commissions. We can provide that information, Madam Chair, as you indicated, within 7 days. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question, Honorable Chair, on the deadline for submission by federations. The deadline was the 26th of August. Chair, I can, just for the sake of for providing information to the committee, indicate that by that deadline, we only had 45 federations that fully complied. Chair, out of more than 65 federations that we work with, I just thought I needed to provide that feedback as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sintiwe. Honorable Joseph.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me just take the opportunity to thank Ms. Khan, the DGG, and Sampiwe for the detailed feedback on the questions from the department's part. I just wanted to have, and also I wanted to just to comment on the response on the facility. Chairperson, 20 million, 30 million rand in a government budget such as we have in South Africa for our country is not even a drop in the ocean. So so we, I think the department must consider looking at the biggest province and where we can have that investment to start by supporting the sports code. But also they need to make sure that as the president said, they want to thrive on good governance, that they do to comply with the good government governance requirements. Chairperson, I just wanted to know the sports like boxing, and years ago it was on TV and it was an art, you know, to see it. So my question was just what has happened then, even if the sport is not big, what has happened that we are not able to, and those years when we saw it on TV when it was the white person's people's sports, I'm not sure whether there was what was the international level from the international standard point of view. So maybe Mr. Jacobs, that is quite a long history in the sports, maybe he can tell us what is it that we need that we require to get back to international level and to compete on that level. What has happened that we've dropped the standards, that we are no longer, the last time I heard this was 1998, that we've made it to that level. That's the one point, Chairperson. And my last point, I'm still a little bit confused about the numbers. On the one presentation, the membership, Sampiwe, stated the membership of 2352, and then the other, Mr. Jacobs spoke about 1177 with a 561 PDI, and there's a big difference between that, the numbers given by the sports code and by the department. So I just wanted clarity on that. Is it membership that they're both speaking about, or is it membership versus just interested people in at a private facility? And then the cost, the fact that this facility happens at a private facility, maybe Mr. Jacobs can tell us what is the influence to the membership cost for a member to go to the membership national that is required to pay. Does that membership allows direct free access to these facilities, or must the sports people pay themselves separately to go and participate at that facility? I just wanted clarity on that. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Joseph. I also want to write on some responses that you are getting and answering some questions. I wonder, what is the role of live life when it comes to do its facilities, and where do they fix that? And also, I wanted to check with our department, if EPMFA it's well functioned and well observed by each department. I'm wondering why we are not going to get a clean audit, and if out of 65 only 45 that federations are accounted, and what does that mean, and whom must take the blame, and what measure if these things are not happening, which is supposed to be happening, or your hand was just disappear on a let me give you again another problem.
In a sense of the 65 and 65 federation, only 45 accounts. I think we have to take strict measures, and I think the department must update us on these issues because they come and go for now.
Recording in progress.
Can I request that those documents that she was
that members must get to the buses to the parliament. On Narapuru, did you say?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. Just to respond directly to Honourable Maslongo, the competency of building infrastructure is that of the local government, and communities and local governments, through their own processes, have the integrated development plan, and all people in a community or in that municipality are welcome to make their inputs or to participate in the integrated development plan. They would have sessions where they engage the communities, they consult the communities. So it becomes imperative that those communities participate in that process of developing the integrated development plan. If those needs are not in an integrated development plan, the communities are not likely to get it. There's no guarantee that they will get it even if they participate, because we know very well, Madam Chair, that there are many, many needs that local government has to adhere to and to respond to. But that is the way that communities can actually make representation. Even if they come to us, a lot of the times we do get those requests from communities to say they want facilities. And we always advise that they should participate in the integrated development planning process so that their needs can be catered for within that. So, because from outside, Madam Chair, we have ring-fenced funding, but even within that ring-fenced funding, it still has to go through this whole process of the integrated development plan. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do you want to say something, Simpiwe?
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to firstly touch on the, I think DDG has covered it very well in terms of the IDP process as process set by government in terms of the infrastructure. But I wanted also just clarify, Madam Chair, that the 45, our process is that when we call for federations to submit the applications, we will have a set of requirements that they need to fulfill, which is in keeping with the provisions of Section 38 of the PFMA. So we would set those ones out so that when then the federation fulfills all those requirements, then we are able to assess their application as well as to disperse then the funds. We are often put in a bit of a difficult situation because it's easier to assess 100% with all the federations having submitted, but we often then can't wait for the rest. So we proceed with those that would have submitted. Those that have not submitted, as much as the deadline has lapsed, we do try to be lenient. If we had it our way, we would basically say you are cut. You are no longer going to get the funds for the rest of the for that particular financial year. However, the implication is that at the end of the day, an athlete will suffer. So we often caught in that kind of a rock and a hard place, Chair. But basically, that is the clarity that I needed to provide, that it is indeed our way of making sure that we are in compliance with the PFMA, Chair. I think the Chair had raised that question. Thank you very much, Chair.
In that note, let me thank honorable members for the engagement. Some, they were thinking that it's just a short meeting. You know, when you caught the information and presentation, you read and you've seen that there is a lot, and now it does prove that when people come into the committee, we need details and details like we are doing. And now I'm saying that both the department and the president who's leading the delegation, you know now that South African figure, what is this name? You ask whatever. Let me check. What do we call you? Ice skating's people who are here. You know what we wanted and what I'm suggesting the office of the DG, you need to come together and look whether you have all the information with you. If not, please assist the committee to assist in monitoring themselves. Then these 7 days will need to get all what is outstanding. But let me take this opportunity to say that the new president, we're looking forward to work with you and with suggestions and with the support where it's needed and with the requirements where we want you to fill the gaps. By those words, I'm releasing you, our department, and our visitors. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson, and the members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. Much appreciated. Thank you for the feedback as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank you very much,
Chairperson
and members. Thank you.
Please take care of that bronchitis. It's dangerous. More than the asthma.
Please take care.
I will. Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members.
Honorable members, let me again thank you for your interaction and your, by words of Honorable Mhlongo, your robust interaction and discussion. Sorry. Who's that now? Okay. Kosavela, thank you. Okay. Zuleka, can you write the minutes, two sets of minutes. Now, honorable members, we are on that stage. Mankopana Jacob. Who's Mankopana Jacob? Who's talking in our meeting? Who's this Mankopana Jacob? Huh? Who is this? Okay.
She is from the department, but I have removed her from the platform.
Oh, thank you so much. Can you start from the beginning with the minutes? I was still looking at this person. Honorable members, we're having a minutes of 24th of August in front of us, briefing by Boxing South Africa. Here are the minutes. Go down. Honorable members, I'm suspecting members have read the minutes and they've noted anything that they want to raise and to correct, and after that we must adopt our minutes. I'm proposing that, honorable members. Thank you, honorable Solomon, to be with us, honorable members. Honorable Zondi.
Yeah, Osalo. Yeah, if women Zozo say Mogela, Spreya Mogele, Paramesuchia Mogelum Sanga.
Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second on the proposal of adoption. Thank you.
Minutes adopted. Thank you so much, honorable members. Let's go to the second set of minutes, which these minutes are of 30th of August. So. There's a leaker's hand here, must get out, Honorable Sevilla. You have a leaker's hand. We're still looking. Raise down your hand. Honorable members, I'm expecting that you have read the minutes. And if you want to do any corrections, and then we'll accept and adopt the minutes. Now, I'm raising
the person.
Chairperson Madlingozi.
Yes, Honorable Madlingozi.
Chairperson, ngicela ukukhanyiselwa nokuqondiswa kakhe ukuba kumenjani le. Kule meeting, kwezi minutes of the meeting, I want to find out if the minutes reflect the different views of each member of the committee as they were, because if I didn't read it properly, please can I be shown where it is, where I questioned the money is being wasted in signing our national anthem with the inclusion of Kiskem, not the Afrikaans language, but the song Kiskem into our national anthem. I know that we might not be having the same views about our lives, but can it be put down and really be recorded, documented that the was that view of the money is wasted when the signing would include the money that would change but reflect the signing of the stem as it is adopted by the government today.
Honorable Mahlungos, as I was saying that I'm putting the minutes and members hoping they've read the minutes, but if we can now, are you saying your point is not in the minutes?
Yes, President Joangelo.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Zolek.
We'll include the points, Madam Chair, but we'll just listen to the recording to make sure that we put it as Mr. Mahlungozi had stated it.
Honorable members, now the status of this minute is, in a way, he is saying it's not reflecting on, is not reflecting on his contribution, and now can we wait that moment that you will check with your handset and recording, and then will come back to us.
Yes.
Are you in agreement, honorable members?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think you're making a very good suggestion.
Yes.
What's the point that was raised?
Okay, honorable members, these minutes are going to be sent over for the next meeting. Let me again, honorable members, take this opportunity to thank you, Committee of Sport, Arts and Culture. I'm not sure whether in this parliament, let alone that finance, sometimes they are doing what we are doing. But I do appreciate that we're amongst the committees that we are meeting 3 times a week. And that showed the commitment. But let alone the commitment, it showed the work that are with us. And I do thank those members that they are troubling themselves when we have extra slots to come and contribute, because the work of Parliament supposed to work from Tuesday to Fridays. So I do appreciate, honorable member, that we are this collective. We know why we are here, and I'm appreciating that. It cannot be nice and good when we ask an extended or an additional days, and you get in here not to have a quorum. I've noticed that you are all members who are committed. You may old, you may be young, as now they are always this thing of the looking at the age. But if you look at the commitment, some of us, we don't look at the age. By those words, I take this opportunity to close this meeting, honorable members.
Sorry, Chair. Before closing.
Yes, honorable Smith.
Yes. On the 24th, Tutuzile Smia was absent with an apology. On the 30th, Tutuzile Smia was present in the meeting. Thank you, Chairperson Babas.
Honorable members, you must read the minutes in order that when time comes, we must reflect, but there's nothing wrong that we are doing, honorable members. It's going to be corrected. But honorable Sibia, I must now officially say that this problem of yours, it does not, it doesn't assist us, because at this committee we know that you are full time in this committee, and when you're having apology, your apologies, they are always to be, you are sitting to another meeting on the same midday of the meeting, and I don't think it does assist you and even our good selves. As I'm saying that we are all committed, and these days that we are having apologies, you are not sleeping at your house. We are working. So I wanted that it must be recorded that we are still having a member that is full-time in two committees, honorable members. When she's not with us, she's always be attending another committee. I must raise this officially, because I don't think it's assisting you. We do want your contribution, very valid contribution, but sometimes on the same day, the other committee is calling you. I thank you. I want this must be minuted. Maybe it's going to assist yourself and our good selves. I thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to your staff and office and all the administrators. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.